We have arrived at that time. Open your Bibles. Take out your study sheets. If you use them today, you will want to use them. You will even need something to write with because you are going to be writing either on your paper or in your mind. Please stand with me as we seek the Lord's guidance in looking at His Word. Father, we echo that statement. May all glory and honor be unto Your name. You are worthy of our praise and our worship. Thank You that we've had the privilege to do that together this morning. And now, Father, we have the privilege of going to Your Word. We thank You for Your Word that has revealed to us Yourself, revealed to us Your plan from the beginning, revealed to us what You have done on our behalf in the person of Jesus Christ, that's revealed to us the gospel of Jesus, salvation through Him. But Father, we also thank You that Your Word has really revealed to us Your will for how You want Your people to live and relate to each other in Your body, in Your church. And Father, thank You for teaching us those things these last weeks, and we just trust that You will do that again today. May we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As most of you know, maybe all of you, the body of Christ is a family. Scripture presents it in that way. The body of Christ, a family. Which means every local body of Christ, every local church, as we call it, would be a family. And Scripture uses a lot of terminology in teaching about how the relationship should go on in that family, the body of Christ, the local church community. And that's what we've been talking about these weeks, looking at some of the one another teachings that we are given as to how we should relate to each other in the family. And in a family, that will go on in the Ritchie family. There are times of instruction, and there are times of what's called admonishment. Both take place in a family. Both need to take place. And both need to take place in the family of God, in the local church family. Times of instruction, times of admonishment. And today what we're going to talk about is the admonish part. You'll notice it's on our banner somewhere. Yeah, it's right here. Admonish. A one another teaching. In Scripture, the word admonish is translated from the Greek word, and you have what it looks like there on your sheet, nouthete. It means literally to put in or set before the mind, to put in the mind. In other words, the way we would say it is to make aware of. When you make somebody aware of something, you're putting something into their mind. You're setting it before them so they think about it. And that's what the word admonish means literally, to set before the mind, to put into somebody's mind. Okay, make them aware of. It's also translated to warn. That would be the slight difference between instruction. Admonishment has that flavor of warning, of reproving, either of pointing out wrong that's already taking place. Maybe somebody's going the wrong direction, have made some choices that aren't wise, good choices, and admonishment would be warning them about the direction they're going. Sometimes it's a warning to someone who just doesn't realize what they're doing, doesn't realize the direction they're going. You know, we have these blind spots in our life. Everybody sees it except me, right? And admonishment there has the idea of warning somebody and kind of bringing to their mind something they don't even see, but they need to be aware of because we're concerned. And then sometimes admonishing takes place proactively, like in teaching or even with your children. You may warn them about something, put into their mind something, and they haven't done anything wrong, they haven't violated anything, but you find it necessary to warn them ahead of time so that maybe you can help prevent something. So admonishing can take any of those forms. Coming alongside and warning somebody of a choice or a direction they're already going that's dangerous. Bringing to light something they're not aware of, they just can't see it, and warning them, or just proactively warning them beforehand. So that's admonishing. And we are taught to admonish one another. And so that's one of the one another teachings. Now there are two extremes when it comes to admonishing. And maybe you find yourself on one of these extremes. On one extreme, there are those of us who feel that admonishing people is scary. It's really difficult. It's really hard to admonish them, to warn them. We're afraid of how they might respond. We're afraid of maybe losing a friendship. We don't know how it's going to go. And so we just decide to do nothing, to not do it. We will never admonish anybody. It's too scary. Okay? That's one extreme. And so somebody doesn't get admonished who maybe should for their own good. But on this extreme, I don't want to do it. Then there's the other extreme. And there you have the people who find it very easy to admonish and warn. They're the people who go ahead and do it, but they do it harshly. They do it rudely. They do it tactlessly. You know, they're the ones that say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. They're the ones that say, I'm going to put them in their place. I've even heard of people who claim they have the gift of rebuke. And that's their explanation. God's given me the gift of rebuke, so I've got to go out and rebuke people. But there's no tact. There's no kindness. It's done rudely. And that's the other extreme. I want to suggest that somewhere in the middle, we have the biblical teaching on admonishing one another. And that's what we want to find, right? Like most things, we don't want to be way out there on either end. We want to know, what does the Bible teach about this whole idea of admonishing each other in the body of Christ? So that's what we're going to look at. And you are going to be involved in this. This is going to be you also discovering what the Bible teaches. So we're going to glean some help from the Scriptures, where we always want to go to for the help. And we're going to find some insights concerning biblical admonishment. What does the Bible say? Is there anything we can learn that can help us to actually practice this one another teaching to admonish each other? So let's go to Romans chapter 15 to start. You'll notice on your sheet, it looks like a class situation, doesn't it? We're in class now, and you've got a chart you're going to fill out, and that's exactly what you're going to do. We're going to look at each scripture. I'm going to read it, and before I say anything about it, I'm going to give you a couple minutes of silence to look at that scripture yourself and write across from that text in the box any insight you see there about admonishing. All right? And then I'll tell you what I think, what I see there. So Romans 15, 14 is where we will start. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman church, the Christians there, says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Now, if you have a King James Version or a New American Standard, you win the prize for choosing the right word or the best word, okay? Because the Greek word there is nouthete, admonish. In my Bible, it says instruct. But the Greek word really points more specifically to admonish. If you have a King James Version or New American Standard, it says admonish. Okay? That's the word here. So what he's saying is, I'm convinced you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to admonish one another. There is the one another teaching. Admonish one another. Now, I'm going to give you a couple minutes. I want you to read through that verse on your own. And to the right, I want you to write anything you learn about admonishing from that verse. Go. Okay, now when I look at that verse, these are the things that I see, that I learn about admonishing. First of all, I'm very much aware that he's writing to Christians, he's writing to the church in Rome, and he is saying to them, my brothers, I'm convinced that you are competent, able to admonish one another. So it's not just a leadership thing. He's not saying that. He's not saying, just hang on and when I get there, I, as the only one who has the right to admonish you, will admonish you. No, he says, I am convinced, brothers, church at Rome, that you are competent. You are able to admonish one another. So see, this is a ministry. This is something that goes on within the body, within the church. It's not just for a little group of people or one person. So I see that there. It's taught to the whole group. It's a mutual thing, one another. A couple things that I think are really important. First of all, he says, I'm convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness. Is that helpful in thinking about admonishing? It's out of goodness. Goodness has to be involved. Goodwill has to be involved in admonishing each other. Very important. Second thing he says is, you are complete in knowledge. The word complete means amply supplied. Does that help you with the idea of admonishing? He says, I believe you're competent to admonish one another because you're full of goodness, goodwill, and you're amply supplied with knowledge. You know what happens with the people on this extreme that I was talking about, who find it easy to admonish? They often go into admonishing people not amply supplied with knowledge. This goes on in our homes. How many times have we regretted admonishing our children? Then we find out the knowledge. We find out the information and we realize we blew it. You ever been there as a parent? Some of you people, whatever I call you that. Some of you, brothers and sisters, over the years who've been with us for a while, and be honest. You have had these fleeting thoughts sometimes that your elders are slow and overly deliberate. You come to us and you say, you got to talk to somebody. You got to go, you know, reprove these people. That's what you mean. Okay? And then our response to you seems really slow and deliberate. It's not slow and deliberate. It's making sure that if we're going to do something, if there's going to be admonishment, it's going to be in the context of goodness, goodwill, and we are going to be amply supplied with knowledge. We need to find out what's going on and gain knowledge. The Proverbs talk about how valuable that is. Have you read those Proverbs? It talks about the danger of just jumping in there with zeal, but you don't have knowledge. It talks about the value of checking out things and gaining knowledge before you speak. Okay? That seems to me what this verse is saying about admonishing one another. It's in the context of being full of goodness, goodwill, and in the context of being amply supplied with knowledge. So before you admonish your children, check things out. Make sure you have knowledge. You know what's going on. Before you admonish a brother or sister, make sure that it's going to be out of goodwill, that you will be full of goodness when you go to that person. And make sure that you have all the knowledge necessary to do that admonishing. Know the backstory. That's the context I think Paul is speaking about here. He says, you're competent. You people in Rome, you can admonish one another because you're full of goodness and you're amply supplied with knowledge. It's got to be in that context. Okay? And if you are full of goodness, goodwill, you can honestly say, that's why I'm doing this. And you've checked it out. You're amply supplied with knowledge of the situation. Then you can go to that person in that context and you can say, caution. That's admonishing, isn't it? Caution. Watch out. Beware. But it's done in the context of goodness and being amply supplied with knowledge. And if that's the case, any of us can do it. Any of you can do it. Let's go to Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. I'll read it, and then you will write down what you see there as insight about admonishing. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Take a minute or two, read over that again, jot down anything you learn about admonishing from that. Go. Okay, when I look at that verse, first of all, I notice again teaching and admonishing. So there is that distinction between the two, teaching and then admonishing, probably a little more specific. It's more about the warnings, the cautions, making aware of that type of thing. But then I notice two other things. He says, and admonish one another with all wisdom. I think that's important. When you're carrying on the ministry of admonishment, wisdom. I mean, how am I going to get wisdom to admonish a brother or sister. What does James say? Yeah, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously. He'll give you wisdom. But here, Paul is saying, admonish one another with all wisdom. It calls for wisdom. How you're going to say it, what you're going to say, when you're going to do it, the setting, you know, all that stuff. Wisdom. It's important in admonishing. And here's another thing that I notice. He starts out, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish. The word of God seems to play into the admonishing here. That I am going to do my admonishing on the basis of God's word because it is dwelling in me richly. This has to do with the word of God. This isn't just me. Okay? This has to do with the word of God. And I need to make sure that when I come to you and admonish you, that the word of God is involved. It's not just my preference. It's not just my opinion. It's not just my discomfort with you. It's not just my view of what you're doing. But because the word of God is dwelling in me richly, I want to come to you in all wisdom based on Scripture. Okay? Think that's important? I think so. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you're familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, you know that there's a lot of admonishment in this letter. Because the Corinthian church was off the track. I mean, they were off the track. There were so many things going on in that church that they needed to be warned about, that they needed to be admonished for. So the whole book is about that. But something interesting Paul says here in chapter 4, and we can learn something about admonishing. Chapter 4, starting in verse 14. He says, I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you. There's the word noutheta, warn you, admonish. So I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you, admonish you, as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. So he's talking about warning, admonishing. Take a couple minutes, write down what you see there as important insights about admonishing. Go. I love this. Some of you look like great students. You're just digging in. That's good. I'm watching you. Okay, now that you've written down what you see there, I see a couple things that I think are really important. First of all, he says, I'm not admonishing you or warning you to shame you. Isn't that good? I mean, if you're in the Corinthian church, by the time you finish this letter, you don't think very highly of yourself. It's been one admonishment after another. But Paul says, hey, I'm not doing this to shame you. I'm not doing this to humiliate you. I'm not doing this to demean you. That's not why I'm admonishing you. It's not my purpose. It's not to shame you. And then the other thing I notice here, and maybe you noticed it and wrote it down, the family terms he uses. Did you see that? He uses family terms. Remember, the body of Christ is a family? He uses the term children. I'm doing this as though you're my children. You know? We're family. I'm doing this because, in a sense, I'm your father. I'm your father in the gospel. Many of you came to Christ because of my ministry there in Corinth. I have a stake in how you're doing. And so you got these family words. That's why the title of this message on admonishing is Family Warnings. See that at the top of your sheet? Family Warnings. That's how Paul saw his admonishing. It's family. And because we're family, I need to admonish you, not to shame you. That's not the idea. But I see you as my children, being your father spiritually. That's why I'm doing it. I care about you. It's a family thing. Important? I think so. Let's go to Colossians 1:28. Colossians 1:28. Paul speaking to the Colossian church, Colossian Christians. He has just brought up this amazing mystery that Christ lives in us, Christ in you, this mystery. And so in speaking about Christ, verse 28, he says, "We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect or mature in Christ." Okay, take a minute or two to jot down any helpful insight about admonishing that you see in that verse. Go. I see a couple things there. I see something repeated again. He says, admonishing everyone with all wisdom. So again, the importance of wisdom being a part of this. Admonishing with wisdom. But then I see a purpose that Paul gives in his admonishing. Did you see that? Did you catch that? He says, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's the purpose. I care about you. I care about your growth in Christ. I care about you maturing as a Christian. And I see something going on that is not going to lead you that direction. Or I see something going on that could lead to a situation that's going to harm your maturity in Christ. Paul is saying, I admonish you because I want you to be more mature in Christ. That's my goal. See? It's not just about pointing out what's wrong. It's not just about putting you in your place. It's not just about giving you a piece of my mind. It's not just about me telling you how I feel about what you're doing. It's about me being concerned about your relationship with Jesus and your maturity in Christ. That's why, in all wisdom, Paul says, I admonish you. I warn you. Important? Certainly the purpose is important. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Verse 15, just the one verse, as this passage begins. Jesus speaking, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Now, the word nuthete is not in that verse. But you can probably see the phrase that really fits the definition of admonish, right? Show him his fault. Bring to mind. Make aware of. Okay? So we have an admonishing verse here. So jot down a couple things you may learn about admonishing there that you think are important. Now I see a couple things there. Of course, show him his fault fits with admonishing. I'm putting this in your mind. I'm making you aware of this. But a couple other things. First of all, he says, just between the two of you. Please, when this message is over, and you're sitting at a table eating sloppy canoodies, that is not the time to admonish a brother or sister in front of the other eight people sitting at your table. It says, go to your brother. One-on-one. And then he talks about purpose again. Remember, Paul talked about the purpose of admonishing as to help someone mature in Christ, to warn them about something that's not going to help them mature in Christ. What's the purpose here? To win your brother. To restore a relationship. Isn't that right? That's the purpose. Again, it's not to shame. It's not to condemn. It's to win your brother. To point out something. And the goal is to win the brother. To be restored. Important? I should say so. Galatians 6:1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Now this one, again, does not have the Greek word nuthete in it, the word for admonish, but you can see admonishment written all over this. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, overcome by a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Read that back over and jot down a couple of things you learn about admonishing from that verse. There are a number of things here. I see a purpose again. I see a kind of a way you do it. He says, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual. That simply means led by the Spirit. You know? You need to be led by the Spirit of God to admonish. So you who are spiritual. He says, do it gently. So that kind of goes back to goodness, goodwill. Do it gently. But then he also says, and watch yourself, because you're admonishing them about a sin. You don't want to get tempted in the same sin. So just watch yourself. Beware, caution, as you admonish. Did you see the purpose here? Did you write that down? You who are spiritual should, what? Restore. The literal meaning there is to mend. It's a word used in referring to mending nets. Remember there's one time in the Scriptures when Jesus comes upon fishermen and they're mending their nets? It's that word. They're restoring their nets. There's a problem there. There's a tear. They're mending the nets. They're restoring the nets. That's the word here. That's the purpose in what he's talking about. If a brother is caught up in a sin, you who are spiritual, led by the Spirit, following the Spirit, restore such one. Help them be mended. And do it gently. And because sin is involved, just watch out for yourself that you don't get tempted too when you do it. Important? Sure. Now you have four more scriptures. We're not going to turn to them. I'll just tell you what they say and you can continue your study on your own. But all four of these talk about situations where admonishment is necessary. Titus 3:10 talks about the need to admonish or warn a divisive person. If there's a divisive person in the church, Paul says you need to warn them, you need to admonish them. It's a dangerous situation when someone is divisive in a church. 2 Timothy 2:14 talks about a situation where people are quarreling over words. And he says, warn each other. Admonish each other not to quarrel over words. There's no value in that, he says. You know? It's eternal life. No, it's everlasting life. There's a difference. It's Christian. No, it's follower of Christ. There's no value in arguing about those words. They can go on and on. Paul says, admonish one another. Warn each other about quarreling over words. 1 Thessalonians 4:6, he talks about admonishing those who are sexually immoral, those who are getting involved in sexually immoral things. He says, we've got to warn each other. I need to warn you. Admonishment for that situation. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he talks about admonishing those who are idle, who are lazy. Talks about warning them because they become lazy busybodies. That's an interesting combination of terms. You know, they're lazy busybodies. They get involved in everybody's business because they're not doing anything themselves. So he says you need to warn. You need to admonish. So those are some situations. You can look at them more. So there we have it. We have some insights for us, some help from the Scripture about admonishing. If you're going to practice admonishing one another, here are some insights you should learn, some things you should learn that can become the context of carrying on that ministry in the body. Now, of course, if somebody is admonishing, somebody is receiving the admonishment, right? I mean, that makes sense. It's a mutual thing. So if somebody is admonishing people, that means somebody's receiving warning, caution, admonishment. That's really hard, isn't it? Most of us would rather admonish than receive admonishment. It hurts sometimes. It's humbling sometimes. It's embarrassing sometimes. Sometimes it downright makes us feel defensive and angry if we're on the receiving end of admonishment. But I would guess every one of us at some time or another will be if it's being practiced like it's supposed to be, because none of us are perfect. So you have some scriptures, and you can do the same thing with those. Some insight if you're on that end of it, receiving. Matthew 18:15 just says, listen. If somebody cares enough to come to you and admonish, listen. And respond appropriately. Proverbs 9:7-8, it says, don't insult, don't abuse, don't hate, don't reject someone who comes to you with admonishment. That's kind of our natural inclination, isn't it? The proverb says, don't do that. That's not the proper response if you're on the receiving end of admonishment. You know, we reject it because we think they're being unloving. They're being judgmental. We accuse them of that right away. Notice the quote down in the bottom left corner. If reproof is unloving, then the prophets, Jesus, and the apostles were the most unloving people in their time. Because the prophets admonished. Jesus admonished. The apostles admonished. If admonishing is unloving, then Jesus and the prophets and the apostles were some of the most unloving of their time. Be careful how you respond when someone expresses a concern and admonishes. Proverbs 27, 6 and 17 talks about how it really does hurt. But a friend can be trusted, it says. Even if it hurts, you can trust a friend. If you know they love you, care about you, that your growth in Christ is important to them, then you can trust them as much as it hurts. Trust them if they come to you. Because if you don't, they may stop coming to you. And that might be worse than the admonishment. And then verse 17 there, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's the idea of admonishing. It's to sharpen each other. It's got a purpose that's full of goodwill. And then Psalm 141, verse 5. I think you should turn there and then we'll close. Psalm 141. Final word to those of us on the receiving end of admonishment. Psalm 141, 5. It says, let a righteous man or godly man strike me. It's a kindness. Let him rebuke me, correct me, admonish me. It is oil on my head. It's soothing. It's helpful. My head will not refuse it. Now, that's kind of picturesque. He's talking about oil and all this stuff. But what's he saying? He's saying when a godly person admonishes me, I'm going to receive it as something of value. I'm going to receive it as this soothing oil. I'm going to trust their motive. And I'm going to listen. I'm not going to refuse. I'm not going to reject. I'm not going to accuse of being unloving. I'm going to listen. I'm going to trust. I'm going to see it as kindness on their part. And maybe there's something to it. And God is using them to help me. So, whether you're practicing admonishment or on the receiving end, the Scripture has something to say. It is a one another teaching. There's no doubt about it. We are to admonish one another in the body of Christ. But there's really a context about purpose, about, you know, what's going on in you as you do it, why you're doing it. That's very important. So, what I want you to do is, before I close in prayer, bottom right-hand corner, as you look at your sheet, those of you who have written these things down that we've learned about admonishing, I want you to pick one. One of those insights that for some reason this morning really hits home with you. Circle it on your sheet if you've written it down. As the one insight that you want to take and think more about and make sure it's a part of your practice. If God leads you at any time to come alongside a brother or sister and admonish. Okay? So pick that one insight that for some reason this morning is the one you want to remember, think about, and make sure you practice in admonishing one another. I'll give you a minute. Pick that out, circle it so you remember which one it is. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this time to learn, to glean these insights, this help, in being one another people in an area that's uncomfortable, both to practice and to receive. But Father, it's so important in our relationship with you and our relationship with each other that we do admonish when need be, that we do warn, express caution and care, concern. Father, help us. Help us to practice admonishing in the context of these things we've learned today. Father, some of us, we have to admit, are scared to do it, and as a result, we don't do it, and that's not right. We're instructed to admonish when it's necessary. And Father, some of us, we admonish all the time. And we do it in rude ways, unkind ways, that pushes people away instead of helps them grow. So, Father, may we, by your Spirit, become better at this, both giving and receiving admonishment. And may it lead to growth. May it lead to relationships becoming closer. May it lead to you receiving glory as your people practice your instructions as you gave them. In Christ's name, amen.